La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-da.
It's Pat.
Can you say hello?
An interesting and informative program designed to keep you, the listener, abreast of what's happening in our town. And now, So What's New with Burr Burrell.
Hello out there, and welcome to another So What's New program on Cafe Radio on this lovely 30th day of March, and Thursday, I believe, isn't it? Yes, Thursday it is. And we do have a guest today that some of you may find a bit shocking. Some of you may not like the things she says. Some of you may be very much in support of what she says. At any rate, in a few moments, we'll be talking with Mrs. X. And if you want to call, the number to call, if you have any questions to ask of Mrs. X or any comments to make, then just call us here at 982-4303. That number again is 2-4303. Now, oh, say, I didn't see all of you people yesterday for lunch. I looked for you out at the Lamplighter Motel restaurant. And, well, where were you? You weren't there. And I'll tell you, you missed a good lunch yesterday. And today, Thursday, let me tell you what you missed today. Chicken fried steak with cream gravy, mashed potatoes, vegetable, and roll for only 95 cents. Now, tomorrow, Friday, there'll be a fish special. And all you have to do is come out to 2405 Sirius Road, and you'll find either a shrimp steak or a fish fillet with tartar sauce, French fries, vegetable and rolls, and for only 95 cents. Now, this is the Lamplighter Motel restaurant, owned by Jack and Evelyn Rennick, also owners and managers of the Lamplighter Motel, Santa Fe's finest and newest member of the Best Western chain, colored RCA 19-inch television sets in every room of that motel, every room. And that's not all. Jack Rennick is back on his feet now, and he and Evelyn have some real fine plans in store for the Lamplighter Motel. So better you make your next stop for lunch, the Lamplighter Motel restaurant, and keep abreast of what's going on out there with Jack and Evelyn Rennick, okay? Many times over the past few weeks, months, we have mentioned the purpose of this program, and that is, I'll repeat again, to help keep our listeners better informed, so that as better informed people, we can, in effect, become better citizens. Now, today, we have with us a member of the Citizens Acting for Peace Society or organization, and for personal reasons of her own, she wishes to remain anonymous on the program, so we're going to talk to her, and we'll identify her as Mrs. X. Now, Mrs. X, how do you do?
How do you do?
And it's nice to have you here, Mrs. X.
Thank you very much.
I don't understand how anyone who looks so nice and pleasant can be involved in an activity that where you're really poking fun at our government, aren't you?
No, I wouldn't say we're poking fun at it. I think we're trying to save it from very...
Save the government?
Save the United States from a delusion, a dangerous policy, which is taking us down a very dangerous road.
Let's back up here just a little bit. What is the Citizens Acting for Peace? Is that the name of your organization? Is it a club, a society, or what?
Well, you could hardly call it an organization, although we are getting a little more organized.
What is it recently, if it isn't an organization?
Well, it's a collection, perhaps you might say,
a
of
collection?
Individuals. Each with a, with we're drawn together by a common purpose, although we have...
What is that common purpose?
The common purpose is to try to promote peace as a way of life for the United States rather than war, which has become our predominating activity in this country.
You say our predominant activity in this country is
I
war?
I believe when 89% of the national budget is going into military purposes, one could say this is...
How much? What percent?
89%, according to the budget that was presented some time ago.
This into is defense?
Well, this includes wars past and present.
89%. I'm going to let that go by for right now because I'm not well enough versed to contradict you, but I question that.
Mexican at the time the budget came out.
89% of our national budget was to be spent for war?
Was to be spent for military expenditures. This includes
military
past
expenditures.
Wars, the deaths on past wars and so forth, and the present.
You mean we only have 11% that's going to take care of foreign aid and the space program and...
No, those are outside of it.
Pardon?
Yes, 11% takes care of everything else.
11%, well, that 11% takes care of the space program, and, well, I'm going to ask some of
I'm
our
not
listeners
a
who are...
And
neither am I. I wish some someone who is would call in and tell us if that's a correct breakdown, but anyway, let's go on.
We can say that the United States is the greatest military hegemony that has ever occurred in history now.
Well, you're quoting or making a statement that appeared in one of our local papers recently when a member of your organization, I think Mrs. Monica Kernberger is a member of your organization, isn't she?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she wrote quite a long letter to the editor here of the Santa Fe New Mexican, and in fact, in yesterday's issue. And I think you're quoting Mr. Eric Severide when you make that statement, aren't you?
Well, as I say, I'm not a statistician, and I'd like to get off of figures because I think it's the spirit of things which we're more interested in, actually. But this
well,
is just
we're,
an
we're
example.
Well, we're going to get off figures here right now because in Mrs. Monica or Mrs. Kernberger's letter, she quotes Eric Severide's statement that, quote, ours is the greatest military hegemony the world has ever known.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's one thing that your organization or your collection, as you call it, has already done for me. You forced me to go use a dictionary, make sure that I knew what that word hegemony meant. And for the benefit of some of our listeners listening in this morning, would you like to tell them what hegemony means?
Well, I believe it means a power structure, perhaps, a way one way.
Yes, specifically in this case, a preponderance of military power within any given nation. So Mr.
Right.
Severide is saying that he's not saying whether it's good or bad. He's just saying that we have the biggest military strength of any nation in the world today.
Mm-hmm. No,
now, are you saying that's bad?
We're saying that it is out of proportion, that the problems of the world will not be solved militarily. We have adopted a position statement at a recent meeting, which is that we reject war as a political tool for solving the world's problems. Mankind must eliminate war, or war will eliminate mankind. This, of course, is a statement of...
Well, there's no question.
You
people aren't being idealists now, are you?
No, we're not being idealists, but I think we're eminently practical. We're looking at how is the world going to be saved from destruction, which is what it is tending
to. How would you save the world from destruction? What would you do? Have the United States government do away with its military prowess?
Well, for the moment, our emphasis is on the Vietnam situation, which is tending to become a larger and larger
conflict. Well, we'll come back to Vietnam in just a moment, but what would you have the United States government do to save the world from war? What would you have us do?
Well, we would start putting the emphasis upon constructive programs of solving the world's problems rather than destructive uses of militarism. A military machine cannot, the only thing that it does that is distinctive is to destroy. Anything else it does could be better.
Well, doesn't it have another purpose, too?
Well, I don't say that it doesn't have other purposes, but I say that its other purposes could be better served in other ways. That is the distinctive character of military power.
What is the... From chatting with you, I know that you're pretty well versed, far better than the average person in the field of the military. And isn't the basic purpose of a military machine in any country, isn't the basic intent to protect?
Well, that is what is always stated, of course. And that is, I think, ideally what...
Now, you're saying we're not protecting in Vietnam.
No, I don't think we are protecting. We're losing the things that we
stand
for.
What are we losing?
We're losing the respect of the world very, very widely. I might just state here from a Vietnamese, one of the top five or six.
What is your source now? Where are you quoting from?
This has to come from a paper, a magazine of the Fellowship of Reconciliation, which is an international peace organization.
Is that a communist-inspired?
No, it is certainly not. It has never appeared on the FBI's list or anything else. It's a very respectable
organization. Okay, what is your quotation? Now, you're going to make a quotation now with regard to what we are losing in Vietnam?
Yes, that's right.
This is
a statement made by a Vietnamese Buddhist priest who is one of the top five or six in the Buddhist hierarchy there. And he says, each day that the war goes on, the hatred increases in the heart of the Vietnamese and in the heart of those of humanitarian instinct. The Americans are forcing even their friends into becoming their enemies. It is curious that the Americans, who calculate so carefully on the possibilities of military victory, do not realize that in the process they are incurring deep psychological and political defeat. The image of America will never again be the image of progress, freedom, and democracy, but the image of militarism and violence.
Have you ever met this man?
Yes, I have.
You've met him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me something about him. How can he or anyone else does he have stable intelligence?
He's a very, very brilliant man.
Where does he think he'd be today? Where does he think his Buddhist movement would be today if the United States had not moved into Vietnam?
Well, let me tell you what another Vietnamese...
Answer my question first, and then we'll come back to this. Would you do that, please?
Well, I don't know where he thinks he'd be. Well,
what do you think he thinks?
I think he thinks he'd be much better off.
Why? What does he think?
Because the Vietnamese would be free to solve their own problems in their own way.
He does not think that communism would have overtaken the entire...
He doesn't say that necessarily.
Well, let's assume that it did. Now, what would happen to Buddhism? Let me tell you what another Vietnamese told me.
Well,
all right, but first tell me, what do you think would happen to Buddhism or Catholicism or any other
That's
religious activity if communism took over Vietnam?
Now, let me tell you about a Catholic Vietnamese scientist in Los Angeles with whom I talked last year. He was... appeared at a two-day institute on Vietnam, which was held at the California Institute of Technology under the auspices of the YMCA.
Uh-huh.
This man is a postdoctoral scientist in high-velocity physics, and he is about to go back. He was at that time about to go back to Vietnam, having completed his studies here, and devote the rest of his life to his service of his country.
Uh-huh.
And we asked him. We said, presuming that if the United States were to pull out, communism would take over. We don't deny, probably would. What would you want the United States to do? And he said, first of all, let me say that I am one of those people in South Vietnam who would suffer the most if that occurred, because I come from a very wealthy landed family. We know that we would lose our property. We know that we would lose a good deal of our freedom. I'm a Catholic, and I don't know exactly what would happen to myself and my family. We will be there. Whatever happens, we're going to be a part of it. Nevertheless, he said, I would infinitely rather have the United States pull out completely. He said, we would be dealing with communists who are among our own people. We would be solving our Vietnamese problems in our own way. And I believe that in a relatively short time, we would be able to achieve a reasonably decent way of life for ourselves. But as long as the United States continues this war, we cannot solve any problems.
Well, we'll come back to more discussion about this high-velocity nuclear physicist in just one moment after this phone call.
Just heard you asking Mrs. X what would happen to all the Catholics and Buddhists if communism were allowed to take over.
Yes.
Well, right now in Saigon, all the Buddhists who participated in a very huge demonstration, about 5,000 of them a year ago, have either been executed or locked up in concentration camps. And this is the Khi regime, which we are supporting with money and arms and morale and everything else. So it seems that Buddhism has kind of gone down the drain, even with United States support. I just thought I'd point that out.
Well, do you have a comment beyond that now?
I'm rather interested in what Mrs. X has to say. I've been hearing a lot about this organization, and I wish you'd give her a chance to talk a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you. I'm going to ask a few questions while she's here, and then if you want, toward the end of the program, I'm going to let her tell you how you can get in touch with her or other members of her organization or her collection, and if you want to join them, you're certainly welcome to. Are you saying that it is your opinion that you feel that the United States activity in Vietnam is doing away with Buddhism?
Well, it's done away completely with any kind of dissent or opposition to the Khi regime. Just about 9 months ago.
Are you saying that the Buddhists are in opposition to the Khi regime?
Why, yes, they are. They
are the
demonstrated
Buddhists,
against Khi just
Buddhists,
a year ago.
Are the Buddhists against it, or are some of the Buddhist leaders?
Well, I'm sure there aren't 5,000 leaders, and that's how many people took part in the demonstration
How many people demonstrated on University of or Stanford's campus here not long ago, University of Southern California, rather? Do you remember?
I don't know.
How many of them do you suppose were actually communists?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose there are a few sprinkled here and there, but I don't think that's the point.
Don't you feel sometimes we're just like sheep? We get somebody starts us and we just follow?
Well, I think that's exactly what's happening when we support our government's policy blindly without even giving it a thought.
Those guys know what they're doing, so let's just sit back
in our comfortable chair and forget about it.
All right. Gee, I'm going to have to stop and for a station break. Thank you for calling. Will you call again?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you. Bye now. It is time, Lee, for that very important message.
This is radio station KFE in Santa Fe, New Mexico. The correct Mountain Standard Time is 12:30.
And it is also time for the Green Thumb activity outside. And believe me, the place to go to save money this spring, or any time for that matter, is United Rental, 551 West Cordova Road, in the Cordova Road Shopping Center, because you can just, really, for just pennies a day, you can rent all kinds of equipment over there that will help you get a better lawn and garden going. Just listen to this. Lawn rollers, lawn spreaders, and lawn sweepers. Now, those are all items that we need right now. Garden sprayers, tree and brush pruners, weed burners, wheelbarrows, lawn mowers. these and many, oh, hundreds of items, actually, that you can rent from United Rent-All, 551 West Cordova Road in the Cordova Road Shopping Center, and you'll find two of the nicest people in Santa Fe over there, Walt and Sue Jordan. They're just real nice folks. They'll be glad to chat with you about your needs. They'll show you around their place, and believe me, they have literally thousands of items over there, not just green thumb items, but many, many others that you'll find can save you money by renting instead of buying. So do it the modern way and rent instead of plunking out that cash. Well, we're back now with Mrs. X, and
yeah,
was
like
that lady who called, was she a member of your organization? She said no, she
won't.
No, and she said she wanted to become one. She was interested in what you were doing, so.
I might mention on this religious question also that there was a statement made recently by seven very prominent Catholic church organization men, I mean priests and bishop, I believe, in protest against the United States activities there.
In Vietnam.
In Vietnam, right. Mm-hmm. In South Vietnam.
Well, would you say this, that, well, for example, right now, did you read the recent release concerning the Pope? We're digressing completely, but just to prove a point, the Pope in Rome is against anything of a mechanical nature or anything that is against Mother Nature insofar as birth control is concerned. However, he is not against a birth control program. Now, how do you think that fits a great many of the old hard-shelled Catholics?
I don't know. I think that's something I won't get into. That's not my subject.
Let's come back for just a moment to Mrs. Kernberger's letter, because
Could I take just a minute and just very briefly try to say what we feel is the situation in Vietnam and we digress from the government policy?
Yes, if you would do this first, Mrs. X, would you do this first? Tell us exactly, specifically, what it is that your collection of people, what do you want to do specifically?
Well, as a collection, I can't speak for the collection. I know in a general way, what we want. And on that, I think perhaps it's been as well expressed as anything by a policy statement that was adopted by 2,000 ministers of all faiths and denominations, which gathered in Washington on February 1st this year as a protest against our policy there. And this included
protesting your policy?
They were protesting the government policy, the American policy in Vietnam.
All right.
And this was a very meaningful gathering because they came from 48 states, and there were 2,000, I say.
Okay, what is the statement?
They're talking about the preconditions for negotiation. And the first precondition, I'm quoting here,
involves
an assurance from our government that we are genuinely ready to negotiate and that we are not merely trying to win diplomatically what we have not won militarily. There will be no reason for response from the other side unless we indicate a willingness to seek peace without prior assurance that all details of the peace will follow our desires. Second, there must be some action by our government to lend credibility to our willingness to negotiate. It is increasingly clear that one indispensable prerequisite is our willingness unconditionally to cease the bombing of North Vietnam.
Well, listen.
Now, just a minute.
What has happened every time we've stopped bombing? How many times now do you know of that we've stopped bombing North Vietnam?
Never stopped for very long. Let me continue what they said.
What has happened each time we have stopped?
What has happened?
Tell me.
We have been very, very active in staging new attacks.
We have been very, very active in defending ourselves so we didn't get our bottom shot off because... They took advantage of that to bring in surprise, didn't they?
Just a minute. Now, there again, we have one of the delusions that is being put
upon us. Let's get back to your organization for just a moment.
Let me finish what the ministers say just first. Just a second.
Why must you rely upon the ministers?
Because
here?
I think they express very well what is the responsible element in this country believes.
Is that what you really mean, or are you just taking what they say as it fits your...
No, because I say they are a very responsible element, and they express it very well.
No question about the responsibility.
Having ceased the bombing, we must be prepared to wait until the other side responds. We have no reason to expect that a response will come soon, for it will take time to gain credibility for our intent.
Oh, my goodness. Every time the North Vietnamese have asked us to have a ceasefire, a stoppage of bombing, four times now that I can recall, we have done this, and each of the four times... we have lost ground. I don't know about face, but we've certainly lost ground. So,
I would contend that. I mean, that's...
Would you really?
That's a matter of interpretation, yes.
Well, what about this? What about interpretation here?
Of course. Anything is subject to interpretation.
You're so right. Now, let's get back to your your collection, as you call it. How often do you have your meetings?
Well, they haven't been very regular as yet, but we're holding them about every 2 weeks now. The next one will be next Tuesday, April 4th.
Where are your meetings held?
We're being meeting at the First National Bank at Cordova Center. Cordova Road, I mean, Coronado Center.
How many people do you have in your organization now? Or your collection?
Well...
Here in Santa Fe.
We don't have membership as such, but anyone who wants to come,
I could come and listen, or
oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we've been very happy.
And if I'm not there the next time,
a couple of people have come from. We know very distinctly the other side of the spectrum. We welcome
which
them
other
because,
side of the spectrum?
Well, I mean the opposite side, people who are supporting and want to escalate the war and so forth. And we're very happy to have them come, provided they come not.
I have to tell you this: that a lady called just before time to go on the air, and I promised her that I would relay her ideas, because she wanted you to know about them. She is a lady in business, and she did not want to call while we were on the air, because she doesn't want to come out in the open with these statements at this time for reasons of her own. But she has been, she's been doing some pretty serious thinking about this matter, and she comes up with a proposal that I haven't heard before from anyone. She said, as far as she is concerned, personally, that she would recommend that we allow those Vietnamese in South Vietnam who want to come out of South Vietnam or come out of Vietnam to be taken away. And then as soon as this evacuation has been accomplished, then she says we should go in and literally bomb the britches off the remainder of those who are over there. And then after it's, she said, just obliterate them. She feels this is the only way to accomplish this. Now, I've aired her views for her. You wouldn't agree with that, would you?
I would say that is a reflection of the extent to which the sickness has taken over the...
You're saying that she's a sick lady?
I'm saying she's a very sick lady.
Mm-hmm. And
I think this is mental illness.
Do you really?
Well, yes, really.
What,
it's a national mental illness. That's been for, this has happened to other nations before.
Germany. How many members are there of Citizens Acting, not members, because you don't have membership? How many people do you suppose there are meeting in Citizens Acting for Peace across the country?
Well, Citizens Acting for Peace is not an annual group. There is a remaining group in Albuquerque with whom we maintain close contact.
But our meetings have been increasing very rapidly. The last meeting we had 36 people. The one before that we had 25. Before that there were about 14. Gradually, it's been building up really very rapidly.
I suppose
and
they
it
could
represents
call Mrs.
a very
Kern,
wide
Mr.
spectrum
Mr.
of
Mrs.
people.
Mrs. Kernberger, could they not to get information?
Oh, yes, I'm sure. Actually, we have P.O. Box 176. If anyone will
P.O.
drop
Box
us a card, why, we'll be very happy to respond.
176. Has your organization, because even though you don't want to call it that, it has to be given that term because you are.
It's
an organization, even if you're disorganized.
That's right.
So, have you been investigated by the FBI?
Not that we know of. We're probably being watched.
How many of your members are communists? Do you know? Hold that question just a moment. We have a telephone call.
No.
I just wanted, if I may talk to that lady, that
go right ahead. She's listening.
You mentioned Germany. I was wondering if you could tell me the difference between communism and. And the Nazis, I mean, what's the difference between the two?
What is the difference between communism
Germany,
and Nazism?
And I lived in Germany when the Russians came, and I lived there when Hitler was there, so I just wanted to...
Well, you certainly chose two very fine times to be in Germany, didn't you?
Yeah.
Hold on just a moment, and we'll see if we can answer that, all right?
Thank you, Charlie.
You heard the question. Can you tell this gentleman the difference between Nazism and communism?
Well, that takes a little bit more than a minute to go into, but I'd say that basically what we abhor is a common tendency on the part of both of them. I mean, both are totalitarian in somewhat different ways, but they are totalitarian and both tend to be violent.
Which of the two would you favor?
Well, people who have lived under both in East Germany and so forth say that Nazism was a good deal worse.
Did you study debating in school?
No, I have never studied debating.
You were one of the most clever ladies with the sword whom I've ever encountered. She parries a thrust like nobody's business. We have another call. Just a moment, please. So what do?
Sir, I think this meeting and all these groups, I think it's just something to instigate trouble and to get the people all confused. Because I don't think it does any good.
What kind of trouble are you talking about?
Oh, well, get the people all confused and cause trouble about our government. What's the difference anyway? Anyway, our government does whatever they fit that they think it's right, so there's no
sense. Are you saying we shouldn't help the men who run our government?
Oh, yes, by all means, I'm in favor of that. So what's the use of going against our government? We should be for our government. They know what they're doing.
You have a good question, and would you like me to ask Mrs. X if she is for our government?
Well, it doesn't seem like it because the way she's organizing to be against our government, I don't think so, because What's the difference? Our government does, you know, whatever they want to. All that, you know, comes out of it is just plain trouble, riots and draft dodgers and burning of draft cards.
But what do you think Mrs. X and her organization, her collection should do?
I don't know. I think it's a lot of hogwash.
Thank you for calling us. Will you call again?
Oh, yes, sure.
All right. Bye now.
I'd like to say that if
you go right ahead.
To be a democracy, we are the government.
We, meaning you and me.
You and I,
yes,
and this lady on the phone, and all of us.
Yeah, we had a question a moment ago. How many of your members or your people in your organization do you suppose are communists?
I doubt that any of them are. We are very
patriotic.
Are you a communist? I certainly am not.
Have you ever carried a communist card?
I certainly have not.
Have you ever had an opportunity to join a cell?
I am religiously motivated.
Religiously motivated?
My motivation is Christian and religious, and I believe that... as such, as a Christian, I am under commandment.
Let me ask you something right now. Now, let's just set aside the fact, Mrs. X, that you and I are talking on the radio today. Let's just assume for a moment, what would you think would be the situation? What better way would there be for communism to infiltrate our ranks or any other than to hide under the guise of religion to get beneath the surface? You would agree that that would be an excellent way of starting, wouldn't you? You can't blame people for being suspicious, can you?
No, I don't blame anyone for being suspicious, but I would ask them to get informed.
Well, you know, thank you for saying that, because that's, of course, the main purpose for this program. And we have to inform people right now at this point that the fastest growing newspaper in the Southwest is the Santa Fe News. That's the weekly newspaper. Okay, Lee, just one moment. And if you don't have your copy or your subscription placed, the number to call is 22581. And we'll be back and talk more about Rudy Rodriguez in just one moment.
This is So What's New.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I wanted to just thank Mrs. X for giving us the alternative view or an alternative view on the situation. The lady you just called up seemed to think somehow groups that are working for peace or demonstrating are attacking the government. And I think it's just very important for, in a democracy, to have people like this and have programs like yours offer a different view.
Just a moment now. Say this again, please. You think it's important to what?
I think it's important that programs like yours and people like this offer a different view on the situation so that we can make up our minds without being brainwashed or given too much of one side of the issue. The government itself has differing opinions, you know.
You're saying then that you think it's a good idea that Mrs. X could come down and chat with me today and that I don't have to agree with everything she says?
I think it's an excellent idea that nobody has to agree with anybody else. Nobody's forced to. And I want to thank Mrs. X.
What do you think would happen in South Vietnam if the communists took over? Would that condition prevail there that you've just described?
Well, I think the situation right now would be about the same as the situation, say, you have in North Vietnam now, or if the communists took over. Military dictatorships aren't really different, I think, on either side. I think the question is not what we think, but what the people in Vietnam would want to do. And I think we ought to set up an election under the United Nations as soon as we can.
Well, no, but back to the question I just asked you. Do you think that the people of South Vietnam would be allowed to entertain thinking and expression as you are expressing yourself right now if we moved out and the communists took over? Could I have his answer first?
Oh, no, I think definitely under the present regime or under the communist regime, if it were to take over, you would not have the same kind of ability to say the things I'm saying now.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. We're running out of time, sir. Thank you so much for calling. Will you call again?
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
There is no freedom for dissent or expression in South Vietnam now.
Pardon?
There is no freedom for expression.
Are you saying the elections we had down there were a farce?
Yes, they definitely were.
A farce?
Yes, they were a farce.
You know, this
and
has
I'm
been
also
most
saying
interesting.
That it's a matter of subject to a death penalty in South Vietnam for anyone to speak of peace or negotiations.
How can you prove that?
This Buddhist monk was
here. You're going to quote this man who says that the United States...
He's nothing
under this. This is a most interesting situation. You would quote a man who is biting the hand that's feeding him right now.
He is not biting the hand he's feeding him.
Well,
he's trying
certainly
to save his country from a foreign nation.
He says get out so that the communists can take over.
Get
because
out so
I'm
they
a,
can run their own
I'm
affairs.
I'm a Buddhist monk. I don't believe in communism, but get out America so the communism can take over, because then I'll become a communist, right?
Get out America so that we can run our own affairs.
We'll take one more. Which one? Three? Okay. This is...
find out how Mrs. X proposes to attain this peace that they're after.
Thank you. We're running so short of time here today that I'm going to ask Mrs. X if she, or rather than run the danger of exposure, if she'd like to bring someone else or have someone else come on the program again, and probably just in the very near future, to because we are running out of time. We have several more calls waiting, and we're already out of time. Your question again specifically, sir, we'll try and answer it, and then that'll probably be the last one we can take today. What was it?
I'd like to find out how this group plans to attain this peace. I mean, what do? Turn in our weapons or something?
All right, we'll see if she'll answer that for us briefly, and thank you for calling, sir.
Okay.
Goodbye now.
Bye.
You heard the question, Mrs. X. This man wants to know, what do you propose? What should we do?
Well, the first thing we have to do, and which we're trying to do, is to influence our own country here to be willing to let the Vietnamese settle their own problems.
And how do you think they should do that? How should we do it?
Well, the first thing is we have to be willing to withdraw from the situation.
You're saying we should get out of Vietnam?
I'm saying we should get out of Vietnam.
When should we do that?
As soon as possible.
Tomorrow if possible?
Tomorrow if possible.
Let the communists have it.
Now, just a minute. Now, that's not what I said. It would be necessary to set up some international controls under the United Nations or under the International Control Commission.
Well, while I have to interrupt you now, while you're talking with other members of your collection, have them tell us, please, if it was not because of the United Nations that we got in there in the first place. And I'm sorry we have to run out. We are out of time. You've been a real fine guest today.
No, the answer to that question is no.
Well, I knew you'd say that. I'd like to have one of your people come back and tell us more in detail exactly why that would be true.
I'd be very, very glad to.
I'm sure you would. Okay. Don't go away now because we're going to chat for just a moment about a very fine group of people here in Santa Fe, the Tiano people here in Santa Fe and in Los Alamos. Stores here and in Los Alamos Community Center. And listen, if you don't have your new 1967 fishing license, let's get them now because fishing season opens Saturday. That's day after tomorrow. And while you're at Tiano's in either of the two locations, you'll find some real fine fishing equipment. So make your fishing stop this time, the one stop at Tiano's. Don't forget our talent show. You're going to hear more and see more about it because it's going to be big, big, big at the Sweeney Gym. We hope it'll hold everybody. And quickie time very quickly. Get well, Billy. And, Mr. Mike, you know who you are and where you are, and you'd better remember who I am and where I am. Thanks so much out there for listening to us today, and call in. Thank you.
have to sit beside each other so you can both type the same.
No, that's not it. Next week it's Carl's birthday. And now here comes Brendan Melvin. He's going to sing a song called Little Charlie Bug, and then I'm going to sing something different. One little, two little, three little Indians, four little, five little, six little Indians, seven little, eight little, nine little Indians, ten little Indian girls and boys. I'm going to sing, next week is Carlos's birthday, and we'll all have to sing. Mommy might have to buy a cake or make one, and then he's going to blow out the candles, and his wish might come true if he blows them out all at once, and then he'll have lots of toys to play with, brand new toys, and he'll have lots of fun with them, I bet. And tonight, the Victors are on a new movie. And tonight we went to the Davises to have dinner.
What was dinner?
Spinach and
And what did you play?
We played.
Everybody get busy in talking.
Hello. Now I am going to talk, and I hope Sasha says something, because she just now shaking her chin. Now Sasha is running around naked and shaking her chin and and making noises.
Okay, talk to it.
Uh-huh.
What day is today?
Today.
Out of your mouth.
It's Friday.
And who are you?
My name is Carmela.
And what are you doing today?
Fine.
Are you playing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who are you playing with?
I'm playing with Aunt Debbie.
And what are you playing?
I'm playing, the cars. I'm going to pull a cat out. I know. And I would say happy birthday, tomatoes. Name tomatoes. Turn around. Bad boy. No. Okay. I'm going to talk right now. Carlos Melvin said that when it's his birthday, he's going to have to sing tomatoes and also potatoes. And the rest of us will sing happy birthday. Now, Brendan, you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carlos. Happy birthday to you. Blow out the candles. Okay, Carlos poofed. Now it's Carlos's turn. Carlos, you don't hold it. I hold it for you. Well, I get it well here first.
Okay.
Okay,
but don't hold it. I get to hold it. I get to hold it, Carlos.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday! Happy birthday! Potato for dinner! Tomorrow morning we're going to have some potatoes! Tomorrow we're going to have some breakfast.
for getting for breakfast! Next week, Batman fights the Riddler.
Don't put it in there.
That's all.
Everybody
the
can.
I never get
okay.
to hold it very
here,
much.
Yes, here. Ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me.
Who did you hear on that machine?
I hear two potatoes.
Two potatoes?
Yes.
Do you like potatoes?
Yeah.
What do you do with them?
I eat them all.
Where do they go when you eat them?
I don't know.
Do they go in your tummy?
No.
Where do they go?
They go for the shore.
Oh. Don't put them down.
Potatoes from potatoes.
Do you go to, where do you go with Mama to get potatoes?
I go to town, get the potatoes.
Oh.